how would you extract information of these algorithms some example, right? If we add all the devices in the same section, the problem is that we will end up with a big, very big section,
right,
and
a lot of explanations,
and probably the reader will be lost.
Right. Yeah. So the counter argument, I mean, this is just trying to debate that. A counter argument is that we want to present a general idea how to profile. We're not just saying, this is the title paper for profiling Samsung device, right, or this three devices. And if you put it in a separate way, people say, oh, there's no general method. I mean, you guys just happen to have the three devices, you talk about it individually, there's a way to look at each individual device differently, or smartly, whatever it is, but, you know, there's no sort of a generalization that we can actually convey to the readers. But if you put them together, I know that all the pain that actually have to describe like several things, but at least there is a common thread that people say, this is the way how you extract pattern size and stripe size information. And although all three devices have different things, but our model is general enough so that if you look at this and say, well, you don't really have striping, or you can get those kind of results from your experiments, right? So that's more consistent in a way, we just happen to have three devices, but this is the general way you can do it, but the results are totally different, which makes all sense that we need to do this, all these experiments, to really figure out, find the results from the profiling experiments, right? And of course, I know that different ways are going to come up with a different curve, that you have to explain it, what actually important the information that you can extract from the results. But I guess just need a common ground. I guess that's a much stronger message to convey, rather than say, look, when we did this, we're really meticulous, talk about Samsung device, we solved all the problems, and look, this is another device, we did this the same way, but explained differently, this is the other one, and this is the third one. And people say, okay, what happens if there's a fourth one, or a fifth one? So how am I going to get it used? Of course, I guess in the end, it derives the same conclusion, but I think the other way around, it would be more stronger in the sense that we use this method, we apply this method for all the devices, three devices we have, and they have three different results, but we can all explain using this experiment, and we can, from this, derive three parameters, three different or set of parameters for each individual device, and I apply them to the model. So this is, it seems to me, a more consistent way of describing, although it's going to be a pain to do this, but that gives a stronger message.
But I think, putting the rest of the device apart doesn't mean that you are using different techniques. In fact, you can reutilize most of the explanation that you have in your algorithms to explain the rest of the device, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, separating the, and I have seen a couple of papers, very good papers, doing exactly this. They focus on the algorithm of the profile in one device or in one file system, and extract the information and then talk about the rest of the devices or file systems, that one that I remember. More or in a shorter section, because
just
you already know a lot of stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think using one device could make the reader focus on the algorithm itself, right? And showing a small sample or an explanation could make all the technique more understandable for the reader.
I agree with that. I guess sort of, but this is
I think not really critical.
So
Lewis had the way you set it up before. Okay. That's
exactly.
Everything in one section,
right.
And then I told him that And when I looked at the section, it's just too much information. There is one small piece of algorithm, and there is, you know, three times as big explanation for interpreting the result.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I see why some papers do it the way Lewis is describing it, because you don't want the reader to lose focus from the techniques themselves. And you can say, well, we validate these techniques further by looking at two more devices in the next section and show that we can sort of state that up front. Say, although we use Samsung as a example device, our techniques are general and also work with two other devices which we shall validate with in the next section. And I think it is, in a way, I prefer a paper where I'm sort of not have to look at details too much detail when I'm going through some description of a design. Right, of an algorithm of some sort.
The counter argument, however, is that look at the variation. So if you say, look, okay, so this is an algorithm. You put some algorithm in there. So this is how we find the chart size. It's very, detailed way, and then this is how we design the algorithm. Look, we have three results. And so you show sort of variation. And you can, spend one paragraph of each and describing the details. Or you can focus on one and say a few words about the other two. And saying, well, we can see there's a difference. So that because 1, 2, 3. Something like that. I guess both ways would be fine. I see the plus and minuses.
I agree.
Right. And if you put them together, it seems that you can really sort of put in, for example, figure 2. You can put figure 1, 2, 3, right? Mm-hmm. And so sub figure 1, 2, 3, this is Samsung, this is that. That, you don't have to maintain the same scale, but you want to show the features, right? And say, well, we have all explanations from this. They can describe it.
I do see the positive of, putting everything together, but Lewis had written it that way, but he had, sort of these fat interpretations for each device.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if that can be collapsed into, smaller text. If it does not distract the reader too much, then I'm perfectly okay with leaving it.
My guess in the end is going to be we have to sort of reduce the size of the explanation. So just getting to the point. You don't want to convey everything to the reader. I mean, you don't want to make this a module list of all the observations we find for the experiment, but rather pointing out the why we designed this way, what prominent features we can derive from these experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, there are a lot of other things that you just won't be able to get to that detail. If you get to that detail, the readers will roll their eyes and say, very interesting, but it's probably not really deviated from the main point.
Mm-hmm. That was the trouble I had with the previous version of the writer. And I said, well, let's break it up and focus on one device. So what I would suggest is, for the time being, let Lewis write it as is,
right,
focusing on one device, mm-hmm. and put the other devices in the next section. And if we see that the explanations of the devices are very similar, then we don't need to separate these out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
we can probably decide on when it's there.
In the end, we probably would see that whether
I mean, if the content allows us to combine it, then we probably should combine it. The other thing which I wanted to say is that this is not the entire x-axis. Figure 1.
Oh, that's because I am assuming the y-axis.
I know. So what you could do is have the entire from 0 until this, and then maybe you could have something like, you could zoom in one of these and, maybe put it here or something like that.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
So this could be the full figure, and then, you could further elaborate.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Actually, I have to look it up. I've seen it being done in other papers in GNU Plus.
In GNU Plus. That's not with something that's called multiplot.
Yeah. Multiplot, yeah.
Some papers do that. I'm always wondering, that's good, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Multiplot, correct. Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. So, okay, let me see.
So now you have jump size and...
So I have the flash pattern size with this graph, right?
Parallel unit, you mean?
Oh, no, flash pattern size.
Okay, yeah.
With this graph. So after that, I have the chunk size. For the graph refining, we said that we're moving to the to the chunk size,
mm-hmm.
right? So in this graph refining, I explain why we think aligning the request to the pattern size will have cleaner graphs,
mm-hmm.
right? So I said that we rerun the experiments with this.
So this one is not aligned.
This one is actually it's aligned. I don't know why it has this. This is a new graph with the bug fixed.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, so
it
I don't know why
the drops.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so is figure 2 is also the new one.
Figure 2 is also a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the chunk size, I explained why we think the chunk size is 16K, which is this small part here. And I call this the negative slope and this the positive slope. Hope that's clear enough.
I think we have to relate this with the model eventually and connect these interpretation of the graphs with the equation that Ariel is going to put together,
okay.
which parameters
right.
of that equation.
Oh, okay, right. That
so,
makes sense.
So, can I ask one thing? Can I put all these results up there? I mean, you certainly put the explanation and everything, but have you decided on what we're going to put up and talk about? I mean, how many figures we're going to talk about, those sort of things? And if you do, can you put it in the paper so that you know we have all the information? That'll help Ariel to really.
What do you mean,
I know you have it on Twiki, but have you decided what you're actually going to include in this paper?
Or
which of the figures?
Sort right, yeah, because there are a lot. I mean, we did this, we did that, we tweaked that.
No, actually, I'm redoing the figures along the writing of the paper.
Right.
So, because I think the figures that we had before were more for analysis and than other things,
right? Discussion, yeah.
So, actually, the scripts for these graphs, the scripts that I'm doing, they will be in the week in the SPN at some point. Okay.
Right. But I guess rather than putting the SPN or in the in Twiki. So can you just put some preliminary figures there? So that the thing is that we have to consistently
in the paper, you
right?
Mean.
In the paper. So because section 5 and section 3 needs to come out almost simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
right?
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Right.
The problem is that I found yesterday. I found a bug in the implementation that I had of Realgrind, and the thing is that. I was using a 32-bit int instead of a 64-bit for the offset in bytes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what the offset in blocks would actually. Anyway.
So which means that all the graphs that you had before was using only the first 4 gigabytes of the SSD.
Exactly. Exactly. So the thing is that I am repeating the experiment.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why I don't have all the graphs yet.
But
could perhaps explain why this. I mean, maybe the right graphs will be different with the new one.
Yeah. But you know...
Because there is a lot more overwrite when you use only 4 gigabytes.
For the SanDisk, it took a lot of time. And I think we don't have the time to do that with the SanDisk, at least, as is the experiment right now. Because the problem in the experiment is that we are doing, for each pattern size, we're doing 2 to the power of 11 requests, because we want, you know, we wanted the histogram, that histogram that we always.
But,
so, but I don't know if we can reduce that number and have,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
a lot,
yeah, I think
granularity.
We should reduce the number. And given the time constraints, we could reduce,
yeah,
it by a factor of 10 or something,
right,
and see if it still works or not.
Okay. Yeah. So.
But
yeah,
what
no,
histogram
probably,
experiment are you talking about? What histogram is this?
The
histogram of response times?
The histogram of response times.
So you issue writes random locations and
issue then writes in random locations, and the idea is to have a histogram of, you know, this is the request one, this is time, request two, this is time, and so
and
on.
And at
so
some point you
expect
the
to go up because of the
cleaning. Oh, I don't think we have time to do those experiments.
Yeah.
I think what we can do, though, is the experiment that I told you and say, okay, this is the logical block size. Is the, because we don't have that information from any of these graphs, right, to get the erase unit.
Right.
Getting the erase unit, I think, is more basic than getting some information about how the cleaning works.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if we have the graph that I described to you today over email, then we can at least talk about the logical block or erase unit size.
But why do you want those to be sequential? I mean, how does that help?
Not that graph. The random writes is what we need for the erase unit.
The random write.
The Which sequential
is,
write will help us with the suggestion
for the application
section 7.
So what you're saying is that we should have this graph, this experiment, but exactly
right.
This experiment, but with right.
Okay.
So can we do it to till 1 megabyte or should we go with 8 megabytes?
You can stop much lesser if you want to. I mean, for instance, even in this case, you can probably stop at, you know, 4 megabytes instead of going all the way to 8 megabytes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's already leveling off,
mm-hmm,
at this point.
Okay.
And if you do that, then you're focusing more on this range, which is the important range.
Yeah.
The smaller I/O request sizes.
Okay.
So these graphs can be redone with going only up to 4 megabytes.
Okay.
And also, can we actually have a larger increment? I mean, it seems to me that we don't need all these data points, a lot of data points in between these shapes.
This, you mean
or,
these?
Right,
these?
Yeah. So if we could, you know, if we know, if we can do something in a little bit detail, but if we know, just because, you know, for sake of time, that instead of, you know, I don't know what the increment size, instead of 4, you can make it 16.
No, here is 1, 512
right.
bytes.
Right, yeah. So
what
I'm saying is, you know, have larger increments. That could save you a lot of time. Of course, we're going to have a...
Do you mean with the writes? Or
yeah, with the writes.
With the writes,
yeah.
Yeah, with the reads, we already have
yeah.
all the
with,
graphs.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
I can do it because, well, at least with Samsung, we know that the page size is 4K.
Yeah.
So... for the Samsung, I'm sure that 4K won't alter the results, but for the rest of the devices, what we can do?
Well, you can make it 1K, for instance, instead of 512 bytes, and that would probably cut your time by half. And you can do fewer tries. I don't know, how many tries do you do? 50?
For this one, 50.
Maybe you could do 20 instead of 50.
Okay.
Yeah. The other idea is, make one run with a large granularity, and make a smaller run with granularity.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah. So we don't need the details everywhere.
Well, okay. So I explained the chunk size.
Sorry, I probably have to.
Okay.
3 minutes. I probably.
Okay. So in the figure 2, I tried to explain, you know, the negative flow, the positive flow with these arrows, and I think it was useful for the reader.
And then you have flash parallel units?
And then I have flash parallel units, talking about how many parallel units we have, what is the size of each one.
So these are internal to a single package, is it? Flash parallel units?
Yeah, at this point we don't know. I'm talking about logical parallel units in the sense that
so now
what the experiment shows, right? So we have...
okay, so that's...
So I'm talking about about that, and I talk about the 16, 8, and 4 kV different parallel units we have. So I also talk about why we have these lines instead of smooth increase.
I think in a way that some of that stuff could be part of the model, so you could defer some of that explanation to the model itself, right? I don't know how complex the model will be eventually, but if the model can capture the behavior of these three different levels,
then I don't need to explain that.
Then you don't really need, or okay. Some of this can be borrowed into that section.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So I think you guys need to talk and figure out how to distribute that content.
Okay. So the last subsection is mapping to real hardware. That is explaining how can we explain all these parallel units based on real data, on the data sheet that we are using for the experiments, right? For the sample flash.
I think that's reasonable. Maybe we don't need to make it a subsection, but we'll think about it later on.
Okay.
It's not that critical. But the thing is that you have additional parameters that you are going to add to this, right? So what are the other
at
parameters?
At this point, I don't have more parameters. I think the additional parameters we need to add is with the right experiment. But
that would be the logical block size.
The logical block size
and
probably the best.
And the alignment.
The alignment.
Or
what do you mean?
Well, sequential versus. What about the bandwidth graphs for bandwidth of? Well, actually, this is the bandwidth graph, right?
Yeah, that's the throughput.
Okay, so apart from the flash pattern size, we are also extracting some bandwidth information. Do we want to talk about that? And similarly for the write.
The bandwidth information, do you mean like...
Performance information.
Performance. Yeah, but I don't know if we need to talk about that because probably...
Well, we could say that the maximum throughput and we can talk about what is the bandwidth observed at 4K random writes.
Okay.
And that sort of stuff.
Okay.
That data we already have and we can also get that from the data sheet and we'll serve for comparison.
Okay.
Okay, I know Jason, I guess you got to go, right?
I just want a final comment about the application part is, are we going to do something about model validation in terms of what I just said earlier? Can we do anything quickly to really sort of have an IO trace and be able to do something? Because, I'm just seeing that the paper, needs a punchline in the end. It's all good stuff. But reading it, I say, oh, you did all these things, but what's the point? I guess we just need to highlight the point or saying the thing, see if this model is really useful.
I agree, but I think that's not the only way you can make the point of all the work. For instance, in the application section, we are given a list of things we can improve in the operating system with all this information, right?
Right. That will be more of a sort of a discussion.
Guideline.
It's a guideline. It's like towards the, just before the conclusion, here's a discussion. So, according to what we learn, and you can do, if you design storage systems, you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, right? So something like that. And
okay.
It will be very useful, but, how much that people will trust your instinct about all these guidelines, is because these are open discussions. I mean, you can't really nail down
so,
to the...
Okay, so what you're saying is that, for instance, if we say that we can do a better file system design, do the file system, but we cannot...
Right,
these
are open discussions.
These are
helpful hints that you can provide to the readers. But you can't just make that as, if you in your first section talking about contribution, you can't really say that because it's... hard to quantify the contribution that way. I mean, that's I can close my eyes and make some suggestions, believe it or not, that's up to you, that's your part, right? So that's not the solid contribution. But on the other hand, if you can sort of make a conclusion section, and based on some kind of validation effort, you say, here's the model, here we can find it, look at what the predictive power we can actually result from that. That would be the punchline. So what I'm thinking is that, you know, I know the time constraint and everything. So it gets, have you guys done some of this profiling before, not for flash drive, but do something else and somehow be able to, you know, do something about the modeling part of it and be able to sort of the I/O stream or anything, be able to sort of derive some of the parameters. And because I see all kind, the model has two kinds of parameters. One is the physical, you know, that's the disk drive, that how you describe the parallel units and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The other is related to read and write. I mean, that's particular for a particular I/O stream, right? You combine this, and this is your performance, okay? And can we sort of do? Yeah, I guess that we don't have to really get to the very end because, you know, giving time, which is just, I don't think there's any, you know, any hope that we get to the end. But can we do something there in that direction? Right? Saying, or say that you just said earlier about, say, fitting the curve. Right? So we do some partial things and saying, look, you know, it's good. The model is good.
So, yeah, I mean, for instance, we could have the model try and fit this curve. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that will be something.
That's probably something that we that could potentially hope to achieve given the time. But validating with a few different arbitrary workloads would be very tricky.
I don't think it will be able to accomplish that. But fitting curve, even that will be the important thing. Yeah. This is what the model is describing.
Yeah, and it's you cannot fit this curve that easily.
No, not at all.
Using mathematical techniques.
But if you can't,
well, you need to have special, you know, what I'm saying is that there is no mathematical model that will easily fit this curve, you know, using curve fitting techniques. You can only create a model by knowing exactly what's going on,
mm-hmm.
by knowing exactly why certain behaviors are, and adding exceptions and things like mm-hmm. that, which normal curve fitting techniques will not allow you to do.
Yeah.
Right. So our model will be more...
Curve fitting is more... I try to avoid that word. Because yeah. that means that you look at the curve XY and you find an equation that works. That does not really provide any insight, mm-hmm. right? So this model, whatever is going to come up with this, has insight about all the, you know, considering the physical and logical arrangement, right? And with that, and using the profile to come up with parameters, and using those parameters to reproduce the curve,
yeah.
and whatever we can find. And if we can say that, I think at least that wraparound, you know, the paper has a conclusion in saying that, you know, so we haven't done those, you know, extraordinary things by, you know, looking at our trades, but at least that, you know, give us the first-hand validation. Mm-hmm. Then that, you know, this model seems to work. Future work is going to, right?
I think one thing which is for the model would be I/O command overhead, right? Which needs to be separated out somehow. So the graph, the experiment that you had with read caching and extracting the I/O command overhead, which had a lot of variability, I think we need to do some simple processing to eliminate the outliers and collect that information. So maybe we can, once you have the data, maybe Ariel can do some of the cleaning associated with the data to extract the command overhead.
One thing I did earlier was to eliminate the negative values.
And one other thing would be just to take the minimum positive values or average positive value or median, and that could give us some.
I have to go. Ariel, when are you going to deal with the models? We can discuss tomorrow.
I will send you an email.
Right.
Yeah. Ready.
We can discuss. Mm-hmm. I'll read more carefully about this paper.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Okay, so I think we are also done more or less.
Yeah.
So Louis, you're going to continue working on section 5.
Yeah.
And also move some things into section 4, right?
Yeah.
You take
yeah.
care of those two sections.
And section 6, which is the rest of the device.
Which is yeah, exactly. And Ariel, you're going to focus on mostly section 3, right?
Right.
And moving section 2 to some to insert some bullets so that I can maybe do some revision. Or if you feel comfortable doing section 2 by yourself, then we could do it that way as well. Whatever you think
is
appropriate.
I can try to move like ready paragraphs into section 2.
Okay.
From all things, I mean, like we discussed, like that are not specific to the model or that are not specific to our contribution, but are more like general, I mean, common knowledge.
Okay. Okay, let's do that. And we can meet again on Wednesday.
So, one thing I wanted to discuss today, but I guess we didn't have the time. I don't know if you have the time later.
Yeah, we can meet later if you want.
Yeah.
But I think George is waiting for some time already. Anyway,
so yeah,
maybe 5 minutes we can talk about it if it's not going to take too long.
No, probably would take long.
Okay.
Because it's about to analyze the SanDisk results, just to put here, because I was trying to get the chunk size, but it doesn't look exactly as the Samsung device, or as easy as the Samsung device was tracking. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the results I had.
Okay. So, when do you want to meet about that?
I don't know. When did you have the time?
Maybe after I finish meeting with George, and we can
meet
again.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be
around.
Yeah, that could be at 5 o'clock.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. All right.